Right now in the Australian mortgage market, a loan application sitting on an assessor's desk for just like 38 extra hours, it isn't a customer service delay.
No, not at all.
Right, it's actually a commercial death sentence.
Yeah, the stakes have just fundamentally shifted. I mean, what used to be a, you know, a somewhat forgiving administrative process has become this highly aggressive operational race.
Exactly.
If a broker takes 14 days to secure a fully conditioned offer for a client today, they don't just get a frustrated phone call from that client, they lose the client entirely to the existing bank.
Wow, yeah. So let's unpack the mechanics behind this. Welcome to today's deep dive, everyone. We are zeroing in on a fantastic piece of reporting from the Broker Times by Jennifer Austin, and she's looking specifically at the market right now in May 2026.
It's a great piece.
It really is. The article is titled Why Macquarie Owns Turnaround Times in May 2026, and the Five File Habits Brokers Are Quietly Importing. And, you know, whether you're a broker managing a massive book of business or just someone currently trying to refinance your own home,
or even just someone fascinated by operational efficiency.
Right. There's a massive lesson here for you about how speed and preparation literally dictate survival.
Yeah. Our mission for this deep dive is really to decode the architecture of that speed. We're going to examine why Macquarie Bank is just crushing turnaround times, and more importantly, how savvy brokers are effectively stealing Macquarie's operational playbook.
To use across every lender on their panel.
Exactly. Because the brokers who understand these mechanics, they're thriving. And the ones who don't, well, they're watching their pipelines collapse.
So before we get into the actual habits brokers are using to speed things up, we need to understand the environment, right? Like, why is turnaround time suddenly the absolute do-or-die metric?
Yeah, it's a good question. Jennifer Austin's piece points to three converging market conditions that have basically turned speed into a literal weapon.
Okay, what's the first one?
First is the macroeconomic reality. So the Reserve Bank of Australia just hiked the cash rate again to 4.35% on May 5th.
Which sets off a massive reaction.
Oh, absolutely. When the RBA implements that hike, borrowers immediately open their banking apps, they see their monthly repayments spike, and the refinancing boom detonates.
Right. The motivation to find a cheaper rate is incredibly high.
Exactly. Which floods the system with application volume. But, you know, the volume itself isn't the true threat here.
No.
No, the real threat is the second factor, the weaponization of lender retention teams.
Ah, this part of the reporting is just so intense.
It really is.
Places like CBA and Westpac, they've invested heavily in proactive repricing and discharge intervention. So we have to look at the actual mechanism of a discharge to understand why this matters, right?
Yeah, walk us through it.
So if a broker secures a new, cheaper loan for a client, they submit a discharge notice to the client's current bank to release the mortgage. And the second that form is submitted, a flare goes up inside the existing bank's system.
Right. And the existing bank's retention team sees that flare. They have a very specific, aggressive mandate, stop the bleeding.
By any means necessary.
Exactly. They will pick up the phone, bypass the broker entirely, call the client directly, and offer an unadvertised, heavily discounted rate just to keep them from leaving.
And the margin for error here is razor thin. The reporting notes that a discharge notice sitting in a broker's pipeline for just two extra days gives that retention team the window they need to intercept the deal.
2 days. That's it.
It's basically a ticking time bomb. You're trying to defuse it, like getting a fully conditioned offer in 7 days, while the bank's retention team is actively trying to cut the wire first.
That is a perfect analogy. Take 14 days and you lose the client. The broker does all the heavy lifting, submits the paperwork, and because of a tiny delay, the existing bank swoops in.
And the broker gets paid zero for weeks of work.
Right. So a service issue, taking a little too long to clear a hurdle, has effectively become a fatal commercial issue. Turnaround equals retention.
Wow.
And then you add in the third factor, which is a broader tightening of credit appetite. APRA is enforcing strict high DTI or debt-to-income caps.
Making file routing much harder.
Exactly. Regulators are forcing banks to hold more capital against riskier loans. So banks are actively rejecting files they would have waved through just a year ago.
So you really can't just throw an application at the wall and see if it sticks anymore.
Not a chance. The brokers who route an application perfectly the first time are finishing miles ahead.
which naturally leads us to look at who is actually surviving and moving the fastest in this hostile environment. And the source points a giant flashing neon arrow at Macquarie Bank.
Yeah, the latest data confirms Macquarie is absolutely dominating. I mean, they're leading on turnaround times, on access to BDMs, and just overall broker experience.
To give everyone a baseline, NAB is currently the strongest major bank performer, and they're sitting at a four-day turnaround.
Right. Meanwhile, CBA's median turnaround sits noticeably longer than those 4 days, and Westpac is bleeding mid-market share because they haven't arrested their internal speed issues.
But the source makes it really clear that Macquarie speed isn't some, you know, technological magic trick. It's not AI doing the work of 100 assessors.
No, their edge is actually behavioral. Their speed is heavily reliant on the file quality submitted by the brokers themselves.
Okay, so how does that work?
Macquarie has a very sharp, highly predictable credit policy. And brokers who write heavily to Macquarie know exactly what that policy is, so they submit files that match it perfectly on the first attempt.
Which brings us to the first operational habit brokers are adopting: match policy before rate.
Exactly. The fastest files are the files that fit.
So brokers are doing a strict, like, 5-minute fit check on the lender's credit policy, the servicing calculators, LMI eligibility, that's lender's mortgage insurance, all of it.
Right, checking overlays before they even think about hitting submit.
But let me push back on this for a second. On behalf of anyone listening who's ever gotten a mortgage, if I'm the client, my primary concern is the absolute best rate.
Naturally.
Shouldn't a good broker fight to stretch a policy, maybe argue with a senior credit officer, to get me that rock bottom rate rather than just taking the easy fit?
It's a fair question, and it's exactly how the industry operated for decades. But the mathematical reality of May 2026 flips that assumption on its head.
How so?
Well, let's trace the life cycle of a file where a broker skips that fit check to chase a rock bottom rate. The file gets submitted, the initial credit assessor looks at it, realizes it violates a strict policy, and bounces it to a senior credit officer for an exception.
Which pulls it off the standard processing conveyor belt.
Completely. It enters an escalation queue. Yeah. So an hour saved by skipping the fit check results in 4 to 5 days of delays.
Oh, wow.
And returning to our earlier point about retention teams, a fantastic interest rate on a delayed loan is useless. The existing bank's retention team will intercept the discharge while the broker is still arguing with the credit officer at the new bank.
Right. The client loses the momentum, the broker loses the deal.
Exactly. So if the file fits cleanly, submit it. If it doesn't, route it to a lender whose policy actually accommodates the client, even if the rate is like 5 basis points higher.
Okay, so finding the right policy fit is the foundation. But once you know the file actually fits, the next bottleneck is how the file is physically put together.
Right, moving from strategy to the actual assembly.
Which introduces the one-shot philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
The source identifies the second habit: submit complete, not enough to get started.
And the data here is striking. The strongest correlation in all of the turnaround data isn't the size of the loan or the income.
No.
No, it's file completeness at the exact moment of submission. Brokers who win treat submission as a one-shot binary event.
So they'll willingly wait an extra 48 hours to gather a final payslip rather than submitting a file with placeholders.
Exactly. Because submitting placeholders triggers endless condition cycles.
I was thinking about this like a baking analogy. It's like putting a cake in the oven while you're still looking for the eggs. You're just asking for a disaster.
Huh, yeah. Or like a car assembly line. You send a chassis down the line, but you haven't delivered the engine. The whole line stops.
And when you finally deliver the engine 3 days later, you don't jump back to the front of the line.
Exactly. You wait for a new production slot. That mechanical friction is what kills momentum. A completely packaged file is assessed once.
Okay, but supplying all the documents is one thing. Interpreting them is another. You can't just dump a 60-page PDF of bank statements and expect the assessor to connect the dots.
No, you definitely can't.
Which brings us to habit three. Preempt the three big questions. The reporting says every credit team asks the same three things.
Yeah, income reconciliation, an explanation of unusual transactions in the last 90 days, and expense versus transaction history comparisons.
So the habit is doing the assessor's job for them in the submission notes before the question is even asked.
Right.
There's this highly specific example from the source. It's great. Say a borrower has a random $12,400 deposit. Instead of just hoping the assessor ignores it, the broker explicitly writes, "Borrower's $12,400 deposit on 14 March 2026 is the proceeds of an inheritance." a state documentation attached to item 14.
And that single sentence completely bypasses an escalation wait.
Because if they don't write that, the assessor halts the assessment, types up a formal request, sends it back, and moves on.
Yeah, you just added 2 days to your turnaround time for a question you knew they were going to ask.
It's like legal discovery. Highlight the evidence, put sticky note on it, preempt the friction.
Exactly. So now we have a perfectly matched, fully complete file.
Right.
The next potential failure point is how it gets sent.
The digital fast lane. This is habit 4. Use preferred channels. Brokers must use native portals or apply online, right?
Yeah. Banks have spent millions on automated routing. Legacy emails and faxed addenda just sit in slow queues.
Wait, faxed addenda. In May 2026.
I know, it's wild. It genuinely hurts to think people still do that. It breaks the bank's optical character recognition software.
So you're actively choosing the slowest queue.
Exactly. But let's say you do everything right. Native portal, complete file, great notes. But the bank still comes back with a condition, maybe a payslip expired.
Which introduces habit 5. Manage conditions in 24 hours, not 72.
Right. The clock restarts the moment a file is conditioned. Fast brokers use templates to respond within 24 hours.
Okay, I want to talk about the psychology of the assessor here because the source brings this up and it's fascinating. What actually happens on the bank's end if a broker takes 72 hours to reply to a simple request?
Well, you have to look at cognitive load. Assessors evaluate complex financial webs all day. After 72 hours, the assessor has experienced mental archiving.
They've completely flushed your client's financial history out of their active working memory.
Exactly. They've processed dozens of other applications. When you finally reply on day 3, you're forcing a human to completely reload that context.
That cognitive friction must be massive.
It is. Your file drops straight to the bottom of their priority queue. By responding in 24 hours, you keep the file in their active working memory.
Wow. So we've mapped out the 5 habits. But the deep dive reveals one overarching operational change that acts as a multiplier for all of them.
The secret weapon.
Right. And it's so ironic for the listener. In an era of high-tech digital portals and AI, which the publication actually teased in a trending sidebar, the most powerful tool is literally just asking the person sitting next to you to double-check your homework.
Institutionalized peer review. It's so low-tech.
But culturally transformative.
Absolutely. Before hitting submit, a colleague scans the notes and asks, would I assess this in one pass?
And if they say no, you rework it.
Right. And the yield is staggering. Brokerages that do this report a 20% to 30% gain in turnaround speed.
For the cost of $0 and 5 minutes of a coworker's time.
Yeah. Individually, these habits seem like minor administrative tweaks. But together, they are the difference between a productive broker and one trapped in rework and retention battles.
And for everyone listening, it's crucial to remember that while Macquarie is the loudest signal for this right now, these habits are entirely portable.
Completely. NAB, ANZ, non-banks. Quality dictates speed everywhere.
Well, this has been an incredible deep dive. But you had a final provocative thought you wanted to leave the listeners with.
I do. We've seen how standardizing file quality and anticipating questions radically speeds up human assessors today.
Right.
But as you look at these highly structured, perfectly predictable, habits-matching policies, preempting questions, templated responses, you have to wonder.
Wonder what?
How long until the banks realize these perfectly packaged files are the exact ideal training data to remove the human assessor from the equation entirely?
Oh, wow. If we format the data perfectly, the human assessor is essentially just a rubber stamp.
And an administrative rubber stamp is the easiest thing in the world to automate with AI.
That is, wow, that fundamentally changes how you view the ticking time bomb in your pipeline. A few years from now, the entity diffusing that bomb might just be an algorithm. Fantastic insights from Jennifer Austin's piece. Thank you all for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll catch you next time.